Roman history in the second chapter, Stephen contemplates the futility of war with a mind which reflects the costs of victory to the ancient Pyrrhus, but also Joyce's awareness of the bombardment of buildings in 1917. His vision of toppling masonry and the ruin of all space is at once a version of the last day and of contemporary Europe. It is, equally, Joyce's protest against both. Men had killed and maimed one another's bodies in the name of abstract virtues, so Joyce resolved to write a materialist epic of the body with a minute account of its functions and frustrations. Soldiers were dying in defense of the outmoded epic codes which permeate the Odyssey, so Joyce set out to remind readers that if Odysseus, also known as Ulysses, was a god, he was most certainly a god with a limp. In this book, the very ordinariness of the modern Ulysses, Mr. Leopold Bloom, becomes a standing reproach to the myth of ancient military heroism. Man's littleness is seen, finally, to be the inevitable condition of his greatness. What one man does in a single day is infinitesimal, but it is nonetheless infinitely important that he do it. By developing Bloom's analogies with Odysseus, Joyce suggests that the Greeks were human and flawed like everybody else. He had said so in a letter to his brother Stanislaus as early as 1905. "Do you not think the search for heroics damn vulgar? I am sure, however, that the whole structure of heroism is, and always was, a damned lie, and that there cannot be any substitute for individual passion as the motive power of everything." Ulysses is one outcome of that letter and its sentiments. It is a protest against the squalid codes of chivalric militarism and against the sad machismo of sexual conquest. Leopold and Molly Bloom may disagree, like all spouses, on many things, but they share a principled aversion to war, violence, and licensed coercion. Molly laments the war killing all the fine young men. Leopold cautions against equipping soldiers with firearms or sidearms of any description, liable to go off at any time, which was tantamount to inciting them against civilians, should by any chance they fall out over anything. That passage was probably prompted in Joyce's mind by an account of how British soldiers, this time in Dublin, had fired on and killed civilians on Bachelor's Walk in July 1914. The book is studded with Leopold Bloom's pacific musings. How can people aim guns at each other? Sometimes they go off. Poor kids. Such warnings were painfully real to Joyce, whose university classmate and fellow pamphleteer Francis Sheehy Skeffington was murdered by a British officer during the Easter Rising of 1916 in Dublin. Skeffington, a pacifist and a champion of women's rights, had tried to stop the looting of city shops, which was bringing discredit on the nationalist cause. Joyce was appalled at the news of his friend, whose qualities of civic-mindedness were recreated in the development of Bloom's character. In those early decades of the 20th century, Joyce was reacting against the cult of Cú Chulainn, which was purveyed in poems, plays, and prose by writers such as Patrick Pearse, W.B. Yeats, and Lady Augusta Gregory. As a student of 21, he had written a pamphlet attacking the Irish literary theatre for its surrender to vulgar nationalism. Skeffington's co-publication had argued for the rights of Irish women to attend the National University. Remarking that the natives of the island had never got beyond a miracle play, Joyce concluded that the Irish literary theatre must now be the property of the most belated race in Europe. When this swaggering failed to provoke a response, the young man made his celebrated and misunderstood visit to Yeats, which he terminated with the observation that the national poet, still in his 30s, was too old to be helped. Behind the mockery and the pride, Joyce was making a telling point: that the two men came from different ages and different worlds. Yeats, though only 17 years older than Joyce, believed in ancient heroism and wished only to make it live again in Ireland. Joyce was more modern. He contended that the ordinary was the proper domain of the artist, arguing that sensationalism and heroics could safely be left to journalists. He therefore sidestepped the story of Cú Chulainn, the epic fighter who defended the gap